Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, The Anointing. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
I want to continue talking about the anointing. I just feel like the Lord wants me to deposit this word tonight because it flows in with a lot of themes that have been running this evening. And so we're going to read a little bit in John 4. The story, we all know, it's about the woman at the well in Samaria, the Samaritan woman at Sychar, and Jesus encountering her. And the disciples had gone into the village to go and buy something to eat. The woman comes to the well and Jesus says, "Give me a drink." The woman is really nonplussed at this, a Jew asking a Samaritan for a drink. And then Jesus responds with this, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." I'm going to say more about that because I want to put it in the context of the anointing and the anointed one. And because the woman recognized the anointed one, recognized Jesus as the anointed one. And therefore, that validates the offer of Jesus. Jesus is saying to her, if you only knew who it is who's offering you something to drink, who's asking you to drink. And if you knew the gift of God, if you knew how good God is and how generous he is and how much he wants to bless his people, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water to drink. The woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, Jesus is proclaiming the message that is going to change her life. But then, in order to catch her attention, and this is the whole purpose of signs and wonders, Jesus asks her a question and says, "Go and call your husband." And she said, "I have no husband." And then Jesus comes with the word of knowledge that opens her eyes to realize that this is somebody with divine power, somebody who she finally recognizes as the Christ, the anointed one. The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, this is the end of verse 17, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So a perception is growing in her because of Jesus' word of knowledge concerning her. He told her something that he wouldn't have known as a stranger. And thus it indicated that there was a power, there was an anointing on him, and she supposed him to be a prophet. And then she got into a discussion about worship. And she was speculating about where to worship. The Jews said that you have to worship in Jerusalem, and yet we worship over here. And then Jesus cuts right in and says, verse 23, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, now there's something awakening in her. There is obviously something that's starting to drop in her spirit and say, could this be the Messiah? I mean, this guy is speaking like no mere prophet. This man is saying things with an authority and is speaking about things that indicate a higher anointing even than a prophet. And so she broaches the subject of the Messiah coming. Verse 25, "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ,'" and that's using the Hebrew word and the Greek word, and they both mean the anointed one. "When he comes, He will tell us all things. You see, in her mind, she's saying, this man told me things that he couldn't have known. And then comes the correlation. The Messiah is going to tell us things that he wouldn't ordinarily know. The Messiah will tell us all things. So in her mind, she is recognizing an anointing on Jesus, and she's saying, maybe this is the Messiah, because Jesus has the characteristic in what he has just done of what the Messiah will do, what she has been told the Messiah will do. He will tell you all things. I'm telling you, the word of knowledge is such a wonderful thing, and we're going to see it exercised more and more in these days. The prophetic move of God is going to increase. Despite what has happened over the past years where it fell into disrepute because of excesses, I'm telling you, the restoration is going to take place, and the office of the prophet and the apostle is going to be restored to the extent that God has designed it to operate. Because the church is founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So the prophetic ministry is going to be restored, and it's going to just bring in so much power, and it is going to authenticate the message. You see, the sign and the wonder that Jesus performed not only authenticated the message, but also authenticated who he was as the anointed one of God. And so Jesus comes back with this, when her speculation about the Messiah, verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, listen. When Jesus in Nazareth said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears, what did they try and do? They tried to kill him. They wanted to kill him. See, and now listen to me. You're going to get one of two reactions to the anointing that is on your life. Some people are going to want to kill you. Some people are going to say, how can you claim to be anointed? And the others are going to say, wow, that authenticates the message that you're bringing. Listen, if you're speaking about living water and God is demonstrating his power and his anointing through you in this way, I can believe your word about the living water. See, that's what was happening with this woman. The sign and the wonder was opening her up to receive the living water that Jesus had promised to her, and to believe that it was as good an offer as Jesus had said. He had said, if you knew who was speaking to you, and if you only knew the gift of God, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water to drink. And then Jesus does the sign and wonder to authenticate the living water. Now, that's what it's happening in this move. See, there is a living water flowing, and God is just doing the signs and the wonders and the supernatural for you to believe that this is really God and that this water is real. See, how many of you came into the services, and I know it's true of some of you, don't answer out loud, and you weren't sure about what was going on? I mean, you saw some things and you heard some things and you were saying, I'm not sure about this. But the supernatural manifestations of the Spirit were saying, this is not an ordinary thing. And as the more you watched, the more that got into your spirit, and the more you recognized, this is indeed a genuine anointing sent from God, and it opened you up to receive the living water, and you came and you had a drink, and you found that it did exactly what the Word of God said it would do. It satisfied your thirst. And suddenly all that querying and that hungering and that thirsting, you began to feel the satisfaction of the living water. This is exactly how God has intended it to operate. Now, the woman gets so excited that she runs into the city. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Now look at this. Could this be the Christ? The anointed one. She had recognized the anointing of the anointed one. See, and that's what the signs and wonders were for, to authenticate the anointing and to authenticate the anointed one. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, we looked at last week, anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. The early church preached about the anointed one and his anointing, and then there was the demonstration of power that authenticated the message. And as happened in Samaria when Philip preached there, the Bible says the whole city gave heed to the things that were preached by Philip when they heard and saw the miracles which he did. Heard and saw. This woman heard, and then she saw in Jesus giving that word of knowledge, in demonstrating his supernatural power and authentication of the word. And she runs into the city and says, "Hey, maybe this is the anointed one." And then listen to this. Then they went out of the city and came to him, verse 30. And then, meanwhile, you've got the interlude about the disciples. Now look at the verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the anointed one, the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of the world." And the signs and the wonders are the authentication of the anointed one, and they are the authentication of his anointing, which is not just a power trip for a few. But it is the message of God that the one who offers living water is in the midst of his people, and that the church doesn't have to live in barrenness and dryness and a spiritual desert anymore, because the water is flowing, and Jesus, the living water, the source of the living water, is saying, if you only knew how good the gift is, and if you only knew the character and the faithfulness of the one who's making the offer, and that he will not lie to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And he says the characteristic of this water is that you will never thirst again, because that water will become a well of water springing up unto eternal life. Now listen, people, the Lord wants me to deposit this word. We've had 2 weeks of meetings. We've seen wonderful things. We've had the touch of God. But I want you to hear this, and don't let this get lost in the midst of everything else. What we're talking about primarily is the living water that is flowing. See, Ezekiel saw the vision of that water that was flowing from the throne room, that flowed out from under the temple, and wherever it went, it brought life and fruitfulness. And God is pouring out of his Spirit again. There is a river of life flowing, and the purpose of that river is not for us to flex our spiritual muscles and do signs and wonders, but the water is flowing for the healing of the nations, and it is flowing to satisfy the thirsty and the hungry and the weary. And God is pouring out his Spirit, not so that we just become a church of happy people who roll on the floor and go through a few, you know, unusual things and then go. Listen. He is releasing a flow of the living water, and he's saying, you've always been conscious of spiritual thirst and your own spiritual need, but I want you to go through a paradigm shift in these days, because the waters that are being poured out are not just for local consumption. They're to go into the city. You see, the woman went straight into the city of Samaria and said, you know what's going on at our church? Things are happening. Come and see things that are happening. Do you not think perhaps this is the manifestation of the anointed one and his anointing?
Yes, Jesus.
See, don't just get focused in on the things. Recognize that what God is doing is the signs and wonders are to authenticate the offer of Jesus of living water to a thirsty city. See, if you just say, well, we're going to keep this within our walls, I'm telling you, it will die. It'll become stale. You'll get bored stiff.
That's right.
and you'll look for another wave. But if you recognize what the purpose of this is, that Jesus is pouring out the living water so that the thirsty can come and drink, and you can go into the city and say, hey, you need to come to our church. I mean, things are happening there that'll make your eyes stand on stalks. I mean, the word God is moving by His power, and it's all happening to authenticate the living water. So that people will believe that God is visiting His people and He really is calling the thirsty to drink and He's calling the hungry to come and dine. That there is a table spread before them and there is living water flowing again in the midst of His people that will slake your thirst and will satisfy you. That's the message. The signs and wonders are to authenticate that wonderful message. Now the wonderful thing is you can drink all the time too. See, you don't just have to call them to drink. You can come in and have a drink yourself and get more and more and more filled up. More and more filled up. Oh, Jesus said, the water that I will give you will be a well springing up to life eternal. You see, the deposit that He has made within you, the anointing that He has poured out within you. Listen, you don't have to run hither and thither anymore. Because He's deposited within you. And one of the things I've tried to communicate is that, listen, in Christ, in Him, in the Anointed One, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. When you have a drink of water, listen, the source is within you. You don't have to run to meetings to go and get filled. You can yield anytime, wherever you are, and get drunk. Listen to what happened in Amarillo. A young man once... What's wrong? I thought it was Bev talking. It's the ladies behind her. A young man in Amarillo one Saturday night was sleeping with his girlfriend, and suddenly the Spirit of God fell on him in conviction. He left that house the next morning, walked out of there and said, I've got to find a church. And he walked into a church called Living Waters Church in Amarillo and got saved that Sunday. 1 week later, we started the revival in that church. Sunday night, he was in the service and he got drunk on the new wine. The next morning, he was working on the North Gate Mall, I believe it's called, out West Gate Mall, out on the west side of Amarillo. And he was working on the roof. He was repairing some panels on the roof. And it was lunchtime, and the other workmen had gone. And he thought to himself, I wonder if what I drank yesterday was real. And he said, God, now he's only been saved 1 week. He said, God, If what I drank yesterday was real, I want another drink right now just to know that this is real. Not too much, Lord, because I'm high on this roof. But and instantly he got totally drunk on the roof of the Westgate Mall. And that guy has been drunk ever since. I mean, every meeting he comes to, I mean, it's just incredible. I'm telling you, you never thirst again because you know that the source, He's not withdrawing His anointing from you, and you can drink anywhere. Please, people, please hear this. You don't have to come to church to drink. You can drink wherever you are. Going down the street in your car, you better pull off. Pull over before you ask the Lord. It could be dangerous. But I'm telling you, the anointing is immediately available wherever you are. And as you just yield to the anointing and receive, you can receive instantly because He promised you that He wasn't taking that away.
That's right.
Now, another word that I want to say to you is, listen to me, don't go back to religion. John chapter 7. Again, there's something so supernatural about what happens here. In verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Who he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or out of his innermost being, out of his belly, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let me just spend a little time giving you the context, background of this event. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. It is the last feast of the Jewish calendar year. And the last day of the feast is the last day of the year. Tomorrow is New Year. And so it's it's called the great day of the feast. Now the Feast of Tabernacles went for 8 days. And each day there was a ritual that transpired. And you remember, as one of the Feast of Tabernacles was one of those feasts where all the Jews were expected to come to Jerusalem if they could, to travel to the city for the feast. And so there were many visitors in the feast. In fact, remember remember at the Feast of Pentecost, there were so many visitors in Jerusalem for that feast. Well, on each morning, a priest would go to the pool of Siloam and would draw some water in a pitcher. And there were set psalms that they would sing every day as the priest in a processional with a lot of the pilgrims would walk from the pool of Siloam back into the temple, and then they would pour out that water over the altar. Another priest would have a pitcher of wine. And so the pitcher of water and the pitcher of wine would be poured out over the altar, and they would sing psalms and sing songs about the coming outpouring of the Spirit. The water was to commemorate the outpouring of the water in the wilderness, because the whole Feast of Tabernacles was commemorating God's provision, God's faithfulness to the children of Israel through the wilderness wanderings for the 40 years. And so when they poured out the water, they would be rejoicing in God's miraculous provision during the 40 years. But listen to what happened on the last day. On the last day, instead of drawing the water out of the pool of Siloam, the priest would just go through the motions of drawing the water. But he'd come up with an empty pitcher. And then he'd go, same processional, singing songs with all the pilgrims, and they'd go to Jerusalem, and the other priest would still have the pitcher of wine, but this pitcher would be empty. And he'd just go through the motions of pouring the water on the last day of the feast. Why? Because it was in anticipation of the promises of the Old Testament of the outpouring of the Spirit. It was wonderful that God had provided water in the wilderness, but Israel was saying there's a greater outpouring of water that is coming, the outpouring of the Spirit, because God had promised through Isaiah in Isaiah 44, he said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my blessing on your seed. I will pour out my Spirit upon your offspring. And so in anticipation of the outpouring of the Spirit, the last day of the feast, they went through this ritual with the empty pitcher, pouring out nothing. The wine was still poured out. Now listen to this. At that particular, on that day, the song that they sang with the water being poured out was this song. It's from Isaiah chapter 12. And Isaiah, it's about verse 4. Don't turn there. I'm just going to quote it for you. This is what it says. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. That was the song that they were singing on that last great day of the feast, when they went through the empty ritual of pouring out non-existent water, hoping for the day that the water would come. Now listen to this. Jesus is standing in the midst, and he's watching this empty ritual of religion with people who thought they had come to the end of another calendar year without the promise of God being fulfilled. And Jesus once more stands and says, I'm here. Like he said in Nazareth, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he said to the woman at the well of Samaria, I who speak to you am he. I'm here. Don't look any further. Don't look to your dead worship. He was saying to the woman at the well of Samaria. He said, the day is coming and now is when God is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And he said, I'm here so that you can worship in spirit. I'm here to pour out the living water. Without the living water, we will go back to dead ritual. Without the spirit flowing in the midst of the church, we will crank out the programs. It is only by the Spirit that we can worship God appropriately. And God is pouring out His Spirit so that we can forget about ourselves. We forget about our order of service. We forget about our programs. And we come and we say, God, we open up to the Spirit. And by the Spirit, we can offer up true worship to you. And sometimes that doesn't involve saying very much. You might be flat on your face on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. But God likes it. See, what good is all that empty ritual and an empty jug? Boy, I listened to a testimony last night that so blessed me. Somebody sent me a videotape of one of the services in Toronto at the Vineyard Toronto that happened last year. And on this particular occasion, Randy Clark, the pastor who God used to start the whole Toronto revival, was just sharing his testimony of how God dealt with him. And he shared how he had started the St. Louis Vineyard Church 8 years prior to that, with a great deal of enthusiasm, a great deal of vision and excitement and so on. But because of no power, he just began to say, well, we're going to have a seeker, what is it, seeker-sensitive church. And he had gone over into having a seeker-sensitive church, you know, have everything nice so that people can come in. But he said, I got to the point where I was sick of it because there was no power. Just totally sick of it. And he had got to a point where he was so miserable. And then a friend of his, a young man that he had knew previously and in fact, tried to commit suicide just 2 weeks prior to that. And then he heard of Rodney Howard Brown's meeting down in Lakeland. And he was so desperate as a young pastor that he went down there and his life got totally changed. The power of God fell on him. He drank of the living water, came back to his church transformed. And he called Randy and he says, Randy, you've got to get to one of those meetings. He told him the story about he had been on the verge of suicide. 3 o'clock in the morning, he had a gun to his head. When all of a sudden, what stopped him on that? Can you remember the details?
Telephone.
Was it a telephone call? Well, anyway, I mean, he had calls the next morning from different ones who were woken up by the Lord, you know, who at 3 o'clock, people were interceding for him. God woke up somebody and said, pray for him. And just at that time, a man started interceding for him. And I mean, he was about to commit suicide. And he told Randy the whole story. He says, Randy, you've got to go. And so the following week, Randy went down to Rhema Church in Tulsa, where Rodney was ministering. And the Lord touched him and filled him. But the issue was this. He was so dry. He was so barren. He said, we had all these programs. Our church was growing because of our programs. He said, but there was no power. There was no power. There was no reality. And he says, I was sick. He says, I had so much anxiety and fear on me. He says that I would shake all the time. He says, my heart would just beat like crazy. He said, I was so, you know, in such a state. And the thing that God did with him is he put such peace on him. He came out from under that anointing with such peace on him. And of course, his church has never been the same. And he's been walking in the midst of revival ever since with great power, great signs and wonders happening. Listen, there's such an emptiness to religious ritual. There's such an emptiness to programs. And God is pouring out his Spirit in these days. He is calling the thirsty to drink. He's saying, listen, with joy. you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy, you can draw waters. And so Jesus, in the midst of all of that, stands up and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said. Now listen to this. There's no scripture that says that. But most commentators believe that Jesus was referring to Isaiah chapter 12, the song that they would be singing on that particular day. As the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Well, what Isaiah says, with joy you shall draw water, where? Out of the wells of salvation. You see, and Jesus said to the woman at the well, you can have the well within you. Are you getting the picture? See, what God wants to deposit within you is the very source of the water supply. Woohoo! See, God's not saying to you, I'm going to put the water over here so that you've always got to make a pilgrimage to get a drink. What he's saying to you is, I'm going to put within you the supply so that with joy you can constantly draw water out of that well of salvation. Here is the well of salvation. In your innermost being, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, how do you draw it out? With joy. See, what a big mystery. It's like Richard Roberts says, joy is the bucket from which you, with which you draw water out of the well. If you want a release of the Spirit, just ha, 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 he, he, he. With joy, you draw water out of the well of salvation. Jesus said that water is going to become a well in you, springing up unto eternal life. But we've forgotten how to make it spring up. We've lost the rope to the bucket. And we're sitting around saying, oh God, fall on us, fill us, give us to drink. And he's saying, you've got the well within you. Oh please, Lord, visit us from on high. And he says, you've already got the well within you. Oh Lord, visit your church. And he says, it's within you. You see, please, people, understand this, that in the Anointed One dwells all the fullness of the anointing. You are complete in Him. The Anointed One has made His deposit within you. When you came to Him and drank, you received that living deposit within you, and the source is within you at any moment of the day, at any moment of the night. You can drink, 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 drink. Drink, drink, drink. It's not a big mystery. The Anointed One has come and He has given to us His living water to drink. And listen, Jesus, that Word of God says, this spake He of the Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit that is that living water. It is the Spirit who is the fountain. It is the Spirit who satisfies the thirst. It is the Spirit who wants to flow like a river out of your innermost being, not just to touch you, but also then, like the Samaritan woman, to touch all of the city. It's the Spirit. It's the flow of the living water. It's no wonder God said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods on the dry ground. And then he interprets what that water is. I will pour my Spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. You see, the blessing of Abraham, we learned in the first week, according to Galatians 3 and verse 14, is the promise of the Spirit. The inheritance that God promised to Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. Listen to me, people, please hear this. God will not withdraw His Spirit from you. That's old covenant. When David prayed, take not your Spirit from me, He won't do it under the new covenant. Amen. So you're absolutely sure the Spirit is there. And any time of any day, at any moment, you can drink. The waters can flow. And they won't just refresh you, but they can touch the people around you. Living water, living water bubbling out of your belly. Bubbling out of your belly. Bubbling out of your belly. For Jesus said, the water that I will give you will be in you a well of water springing up, springing up, springing up unto eternal life. Life for all the people around you. Life for the whole city of Roswell. Life for the church of Jesus Christ in the city. Life. The water springing up to eternal life. The water. The water. The water. Healing the nations. The leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. The water's producing fruit 12 months of the year. No barren period. Perpetual fruitfulness. Aren't you tired of lives that have sporadic fruitfulness? Aren't you tired of churches that have sporadic fruitfulness? Jesus said, the water that comes from the throne will water the trees that will produce fruit 12 months of the year. Perpetual fruitfulness. Perpetual saturation. Perpetual satisfaction. Perpetual fullness. Perpetual drinking. Now notice what the other priest poured out at the throne, at the altar, was a pitcher of wine. What was the wine for? They didn't even know what they were doing, but the Holy Spirit knew, because the wine is the wine of celebration. And Jeremiah had promised that God was going to pour out that wine for the nations. Ha! The new wine. New wine. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out the new wine and the water. The wine and the water. The wine and the water. The wine producing joyous celebration and the water producing life. Listen, when the water was poured out on the day of Pentecost, what did it lead to? How many were saved? 4,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Wasn't it 4,000? I might be wrong. 3,000? 3,000. About 3,000 plus or minus 1,000. Evangelistically speaking. The water and the wine. That's what he's been doing here. But it's to flow. It's to flow. It's to flow. It's to flow in the city. And some of you have experienced the joy of that. Man, you don't need to preach. Just lay hands on people and let the water and the wine flow out. Let the Spirit of God touch people. Ha! Glory be to the living God. Hallelujah. If any man thirsts, said Jesus, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. The verbs in the Greek are in the present tense, which means let him keep on coming to me and keep on drinking. Let him keep on coming to me and keep on drinking. Well, where do we come to him? Christ in you. The anointed one in you, the hope of glory, the anointed one and his anointing within. You see, you don't have to go somewhere to get a drink. You can drink right where you are. Yesterday I was talking to South Africa. 6,000 miles away over the telephone. And guess what happened? When I spoke release and anointing, the anointing started to bubble in South Africa. 6,000 miles away. Why? Because the fountain is within you. Oh. See, some of you, please hear this. Some of you are straining so hard in these services, are still straining. Boy, you want to receive so badly. And you're coming with this attitude, oh yes, God, pour it, yeah. And he's saying, it's within you, let it out. Oh, God, just put it on me. Just lay it on me. And God says, just let it out. See, and let me ask you the simple question. Where do you think the rivers are going to flow out? Jesus said they're going to flow out of your innermost being. But how will they flow? They won't come out your ears. They won't come out your nose. Because Isaiah 12 says, listen to this, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall ye say, speak, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They're going to come out your mouth. Out of your belly will flow out of your mouth. So some of you are standing there with your jaws clamped shut. Bless God, I don't want anything of the flesh. Bless God, I don't want anything that comes from the devil. So I'm just going to stand here until God makes me laugh. He ain't going to make you laugh. He says, by faith, let the waters flow. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Have a drink. Drink. Just drink. Drink. These are not drunk, as you suppose. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Boy, if some of you could just put your religion away, you could drink. Your religious ideas are keeping you from the release of the Spirit.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.